This week it's good to welcome back Julian Wybrough, who's been really giving us an education, I can tell you, all about the towns of Essex and how it all got its names as well. And I think this time we're going to be looking at the beginnings of the Saxon settlement and how it all coalesced into the Kingdom of Essex. And what sort of time are we talking, what sort of years are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking here about the middle of the 5th century, for about 100 years until the middle of the 6th century.
Right.
That sort of time frame. So that 100 years. So, basically, Saxons began to arrive on this coast, on our coast, southeast Essex, probably the first place in the country where it happened. Probably as a result of those mercenaries that were here earlier on bringing over their families and then their relatives and their friends. Nothing changes, really. And so we get, first of all, arriving on the coast, or the former coast, because the coastline has changed a little, the first settlements and the first villages being founded. And they are normally distinguished by suffixes on modern place names like Ham, H-A-M, and Ing, I-N-G. The first one meaning the village of, and the second one meaning people. So places like Barling came from Berlingum, Berla's people. Wakeringas is Wakering, Waker's people. Caningadun, the hill of Cana's people, and so on. Then, after a generation had passed, they needed more land. They began to move up the river valleys, and if you then start to explore the River Roach Valley and the River Crouch Valley, and so on, then you find a second wave of settlements, which take their name from descriptive place names. In other words, the people were getting used to the location and naming things around them. So, places like Rorith, which in Saxon is Hrágrarith. So, literally, the Heron's Stream. Wonderful to think once there were herons floating around in Rorith.
Yes, indeed.
Hákawiela is Hawkwell, and simply means the hooked stream. In other words, the meandering stream, which it still does.
Yes.
Go down behind Hockley Church and you'll see it still meandering away. Prittolwiele is another one. Prittlewell, meaning beautiful name, the babbling brook. And I have to say, I was there quite recently and walked along a part of it in between all the houses, and it still babbles. So people in Southend, go and listen to the babbling. The third phase was where people began to move into the Great Forest of Essex, between the rivers, and cut down the trees to create new settlements, having run out of space. And here the names are distinguished by leach on the end, or L-E-Y, meaning clearing.
Oh, right.
And places like that are Rea Leach, which means the wild goat clearing.
Wild goat clearing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether people of Rayleigh will like that.
Places like Hocker's Leach, Hocker's clearing, and Thunra's Leach, which means Thor's clearing, the place where Thor was worshipped. And if you stand on that height there where Thundersley Church is, you can, during a thunderstorm and the lightning striking, you can well imagine it being Thor's clearing. And then the last area of settlement was when people began to settle haphazardly, and the place names now would have something like Wick attached to it, meaning a dairy farm, or Tun, meaning an arable farm. Places like Sutton, near Chelmsford, Great Sutton,
right.
Little Sutton, Big South Farm and Little South Farm.
What about Wickford, then?
Oh, well, Wickford.
Was that the wrong way round?
Oh, Wickford is one. That's fine.
Yeah,
yeah, Wickford means the ford where where the dairy farm was.
Oh, right.
There's a possible alternative explanation for that before everyone from Wickford starts phoning up, and that is the ford by the Witch Elm.
All right.
But it's not known for definite yet. And gradually, where these settled areas emerged all along the east coast of Essex, they began to coalesce into groups of chiefdoms and then finally with one authoritative figure, a king. And more about that next time.
Okay, thanks very much indeed, Julie.